Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Insecure in Love Workbook, step-by-step guidance to help you overcome anxious attachment and feel more secure with yourself and your partner. By Leslie Becker Phelps, PhD. Foreword by Dennis Turch, PhD. Narrated by Monica Plant. Publisher's note. This audio edition references worksheets that can be downloaded at newharbinger.com/52175 and drbecker-phelps.com/insecure-in-love-workbook. Forward. We all want to feel loving and loved. It's literally encoded into our DNA. And we evolved to need cooperation and love in order to function as a species. Humans have evolutionary advantages that are rooted in our ability to work together, not in our ability to be some super deadly, wildly individual apex predator like a lion or cobra. Cooperating to survive, hunting together, communicating using words, thinking using internalized language, and protecting and nurturing one another are what has brought dominance on the planet. We are a species that needs love. And that fact will seriously affect any member of this species for their entire time on Earth. Indeed, your experience of loving relationships and caring connection is an essential element of your own survival and flourishing. Research from across a range of scientific disciplines suggests that, from the day you are born until the day you die, your experience of compassion and love will affect your health at every level of well-being. From your immune system to your heart rate variability, to your resilience in the face of adversity and psychological stress. Given all of this, why is it that finding and nurturing a loving relationship can be so desperately challenging? And why is it that when we show others our basic human need to feel safe and loved, we fear seeming needy or insecure? It's almost as if modern society encourages us to be ashamed of our needs, ashamed of what makes us most human, and ashamed of who we are. How can we come to understand the dynamics of human relationships? Attachment, a word from psychological science that can be defined as our enduring connectedness with emotionally significant others across time and situations, has become something of a buzzword in the 2020s. Social media and pop psychology have brought attachment into the zeitgeist, with a seemingly endless stream of mental health influencers posting videos to your social media feed. These posts and reels might talk about your attachment style, or offer platitudes that can define and categorize your attachment style, putting your way of loving and relating into a kind of box with yet another new label. You can be trained to think of yourself as anxiously attached or insecure, without really absorbing information that can guide effective action in the world. This isn't so helpful. In a sense, it resembles astrology, where your whole being can be reduced to a zodiac sign based on very little data, your birth date in that case, without you really receiving actionable intelligence about how to live. Maybe you don't need a new label so much. Maybe you need a map to the road ahead, and a friendly voice that teaches you how to reclaim your life and to build opportunities for love to flourish in your life. In this workbook, you will learn that the science of attachment, love, and compassion isn't meant to function like a horoscope or label. The cutting edge of clinical attachment science is meant to help you transform your life and walk forward on a loving and empowered path. This workbook will show you that finding love doesn't need to be a grueling and shameful endeavor. The author provides practical steps to work with your fundamental need for human connection in ways that can help you discover love within and without. As you will soon discover, Dr. Becker Phelps can gradually and kindly guide you as you learn how to love yourself, learn how to overcome psychological blocks to being available to love, and learn how to build meaningful and rewarding relationships that have the possibility of enduring and thriving. I hope that you find the love that you desire and need. I hope that you learn to accept yourself exactly as you are in this very moment, finding that love within, beginning to share a gently accepting, non-judgmental love with yourself can change everything. I'm glad you have found this book, and I wish you well as you begin this journey with the author. May you be well. Dr. Dennis Turch. Introduction. You feel more than ready to be in a happy, committed relationship. Unfortunately, your attempts at dating have not worked out so well, leaving you with the question of what to do next. This workbook might be just what you're looking for. It offers guidance in how to nurture the relationship you've always wanted. Even if you haven't read my book, Insecure in Love, this workbook will show you how a well-researched conception of the human attachment system, attachment theory, can help you understand the biological foundation of how you connect with significant others. A fundamental idea from this theory is that the way you relate to others is based on how lovable you feel and how emotionally available you tend to think others will be. This workbook frequently uses this idea and other concepts in attachment theory to help you think about how the patterns in your relationships have developed, how you maintain them, and how you can change them. Given that my previous books, Insecure in Love and Bouncing Back from Rejection, were both based on the same fundamental concepts, I have used them as resources in developing the current workbook. While your goal is to be happy in a love relationship, it is essential that you begin by focusing on yourself and what you bring to relationships. If you feel flawed or broken, you will undoubtedly feel anxious and insecure in the presence of a potential partner. In the past, convinced that no one who really got to know you would want to be your partner, you may have worked hard to make people happy or to convince people to love you. After all, it's hard, if not impossible, for you to imagine someone loving the real you, the true you, not your facade. So, you must begin your journey toward being secure in love by learning to be at home within yourself. But how can you feel at home if you are already caught up in being critical of yourself and fearing judgment? The answer is to learn to relate to yourself as a being who is struggling, rather than as an object that needs to be taken apart, scrutinized, and fixed. You must learn to more fully see and have empathy and compassion for your true self, including the unwelcome pull to be self-critical. With this compassionate self-awareness, you will begin to heal your inner insecurity. But there is still the matter of wanting to feel more secure in a relationship with another person. With increased compassionate self-awareness and self-acceptance, you will be more open to feeling accepted and cared about by someone else. Then, as you absorb their positive responses, your inner self will feel more secure, and you will become even more open to caring from another. And so it goes, with each of these experiences feeding the other, and your sense of security in yourself and your relationship increasing. This personal growth will enable you to be more empathetic, compassionate, supportive, and encouraging of your partner, all of which are essential for a happy, loving relationship. Tips for using this workbook. The Insecure in Love workbook is a step-by-step guide to renewing your inner home. There will be exercises to do throughout this workbook, and some free tools and bonus content are also available at drbecker-phelps.com/insecure-in-love-workbook and newharbinger.com/52175. There is so much to learn about yourself and your relationships that I strongly suggest journaling to process thoughts, questions, concerns, observations, and insights stirred up by this workbook. Although there are certain times when I will encourage you to write in the journal, I also encourage you to do this at any point when you think it would be helpful. Keep in mind that you don't need to be alone in this journey, and ultimately, you cannot do it alone. Because your goal is to nurture a secure romantic relationship, you may find it helpful to get feedback along the way from someone else, such as a friend or a therapist, You can also use the exercises in this workbook to develop greater security in platonic relationships as a way to prepare for having a romantic partner. As you nurture a sense of feeling truly secure within yourself and become more open to being loved by another, you will finally be able to create a shared home, a relationship in which you and a partner can safely reside and even thrive. Chapter 1. A Blueprint for Love. You may question what's wrong with you that makes it so hard to enjoy a healthy, loving, intimate relationship. This sense of being fundamentally flawed can be deeply painful, even torturous. So I'm hoping you will find it a relief to learn that there is nothing inherently wrong with you as a person. Rather, your struggles are related to being human, and even more broadly, to just being a mammal. Once you understand this, you will see that you are not deficient and you are not alone. Like other people, you can enjoy fulfilling intimate relationships. But to get there, it can help to first learn about how your human capacity for close relationships has been misdirected. You may be shaking your head, unconvinced that you are not the problem. But stay with me. This workbook will help you see the truth in what I'm proposing here. Though we humans like to focus on how our complex, neuron-packed brains make us special, and despite all of the progress we've made as a species, our ability to survive is based on neural wiring shared with other mammals. The need right from birth to connect with others in our species. This need is also the foundation of love relationships, which provide a home for our hearts. You have an intrinsic appreciation of this when you see all those mother-baby animal pictures passed along through the internet, leaving us to practically sigh together in a collective, aww. Mammals can also feel this connection across species. Think about how you feel when you see those pictures of kittens and puppies playing together. They're so darned cute. Psychoanalyst John Bowlby developed and explored this wired-in need for connection in his concept of attachment theory. As infants, we clearly need caregivers to attend to us and keep us safe. However, on a less obvious level, the role of those caregivers is to comfort us, though our personal temperament and physiology can make this more or less difficult to accomplish. The more successful they are in creating a physically and emotionally safe environment, the less anxiety we feel within ourselves and the better we become at managing perceived threats. We also learn to see our caregivers as emotionally available resources that we can turn to for support. However, when people don't feel valued and supported, they develop negative self-perceptions, have difficulty managing their emotions, and may have difficulty developing healthy relationships. These are lessons we carry into adulthood. The relationship that children have with their caregivers, what Bowlby calls attachment figures, shapes their lifelong relationship with themselves and others. The researchers Bartholomew and Horowitz referred to these lifelong relationships as the model of self and model of others. Later, we will use these models to explore the four basic attachment styles. Model of self. A person's model of self is characterized by how worthy or lovable they feel. It is largely developed from their experiences of being attended to by caregivers, especially in their first several years. There are two basic ways in which children develop a sense that they are worthy. The healthiest grounding comes when caregivers tend to be emotionally attuned to a child and respond in a compassionate and calming way. These caregivers, or attachment figures, can include parents, teachers, and mentors. By taking in their nurturing, a child also absorbs the message that they are essentially lovable and have value in just being, not solely for what they do. So, in the face of upsetting emotions, they can self-soothe by effectively replicating the responses of their caregivers, rather than becoming easily overwhelmed or questioning themselves. Overall, they develop a positive, accepting relationship with themselves and feel comfortable in their own skin. Another way that people achieve feeling worthy is by overriding their distress and focusing on the external world. They feel worthy and valuable based on what they can accomplish, without looking to an attachment figure. They also experience themselves as lovable based on their sense of accomplishment. It will become clear later that this way of developing a positive sense of self has its downsides. However, other children develop a sense that they are unworthy. There are many children who feel outright rejected or do not feel sufficiently comforted when upset. They receive the message that there is something essentially wrong with them. Unable to effectively be calmed by others or themselves, they often feel some degree of being unsafe in the world or in relationships. Feeling distressed or bad can lead them to see themselves as bad, or in ways akin to being inadequate, unworthy, and unlovable. They can sometimes attain an illusory sense of being worthy by eliciting reassurance from others. But this is fragile, and easily gives way to the underlying sense that there is something wrong with them. Feelings of anxiety within themselves and their relationships reflect their anxious attachment style. Exploring your model of self. It is important to understand that the model of self is a dimension or range. Everyone has good and bad days, but people generally feel a greater or lesser sense of being lovable and calm, or unlovable and anxious. If you tend to experience yourself in the latter way, you have a more anxious attachment style. To determine your model of self and your level of anxious attachment, consider a scale moving from left to right, noting these contrasting perceptions that people can have of themselves. Then note where in these ranges, on a day-to-day general basis, your perceptions of yourself fall. The far right of the scales, stated second, correlates to an anxious attachment style. Lovable, unlovable. Worthy, strong, sound, acceptable. Unworthy, flawed, inferior, weak, deficient. Adequate, inadequate. Secure in self, insecure in self. Low anxiety, high anxiety. Reflect on your model of self profile from this assessment. Can you think of some recent experiences that support your responses? If these experiences go back to childhood, describe the earliest examples of them that you can remember. What patterns do you notice in these scales? If your experiences of self are different now from when you were a child, how have they changed? Do your responses differ for different kinds of relationships? Have they changed over time? Do you have more to explore? If so, continue writing in your journal. Is your model of self making you anxious? Look at your ratings in the last exercise. If they reflect an anxious attachment style, your responses show that you relate to yourself as a flawed or deficient person. As you consider the following ways in which such a negative self-relationship is often expressed, note any that you believe apply to you. Within yourself. Feeling insecure, dependent, weak, inferior, flawed, or inadequate. Feeling not as good or as competent as other people in your life. Feeling alone in the world, even when others are around or supportive. Being self-critical, which can also be self-bullying. Feeling shame, self-loathing. Being angry with yourself for your perceived flaws. Withdrawing into yourself in response to feeling so negatively about yourself. Fearing being overwhelmed by your emotions. Believing intense emotions show that there is something wrong with you. Self in relation to others. Being quick to see others as rejecting you. Fearing rejection or abandonment. Withdrawing from others to avoid rejection. Being angry with others for not being as available or as supportive as you feel you need, or for not somehow making you feel better. Trying desperately to prove to others that you are worthy or to gain their support. Being needy or clingy. Reflect on each phrase that you noted. The more you relate to these phrases, the more anxiously attached you are. Which phrases do you connect with most powerfully? Think of situations that relate to the different phrases. Do you notice patterns in how or when you have these experiences? How do the phrases that you noted in the within yourself section relate to the ones that you noted in the self in relation to others section? How might your life be improved by addressing these issues? If you have more to say, continue writing in your journal. As you work to create a more positive self-relationship, you will notice that you have fewer of the experiences that you noted in the previous exercise and feel less intensely about the ones you do have. Model of others. A person's model of others, particularly of attachment figures, during times of distress can range from seeing them as emotionally available to seeing them as unavailable or even hostile. As with the model of self, the model of others is largely developed from early experiences with caregivers. Children who experience others as emotionally available have also experienced their caregivers as emotionally available, caring, and capable of calming their distress. The story is different for children who experience their caregivers as uncaring, too weak or flawed to help, or as hostile. They expect that turning to these caregivers during times of distress will be harmful, either leaving them painfully vulnerable and alone, or on the receiving end of harsh treatment. To cope with this, they essentially try to turn off their attachment system by denying or suppressing their distress, thus not needing to connect with an attachment figure. They focus outwardly on mastering their environment, such as by playing with their toys, achieving success at school, and later as adults, being successful in their chosen careers. To the degree that they are externally successful, they view themselves positively. They are inclined to avoid their own emotional experiences as well as emotional closeness with others, and so they are said to have an avoidant attachment style. Exploring your model of others. To assess how emotionally available you expect significant people in your life to be, and how open you are to emotional intimacy, consider these ranges of experience. Note where in these ranges your perceptions of and reactions to attachment figures fall. Though your experiences may vary, respond based on what you generally experience on a day-to-day basis. If your expectations differ between family, platonic, and romantic relationships, you may want to mark them separately, perhaps using a different color pen. You expect others are emotionally available. You expect others are emotionally unavailable. You tend not to avoid others. You tend to avoid others. You approach others for support. You do not approach others for support. You expect others will not reject you. You expect others will reject you. Though the right side of these scales, stated second, indicates characteristics of a more avoidant attachment style, the first scale can be a little different. Many anxiously attached people think that others can be emotionally available, but they also think they don't deserve such acceptance and love unless they work hard to earn it. If you can relate to this, you likely have anxious attachment style despite possibly making your note to the right of center. Reflect on your model of others profile from this assessment. What are some recent examples of experiences that support your responses? If these experiences go back to childhood, describe the earliest examples that you can remember. What patterns do you notice in these scales? If your experiences of others are different now from when you were a child, how have they changed? Do your responses differ with different kinds of relationships? Have they changed over time? Do you have more to explore? If so, continue writing in your journal. Is your model of others making you avoidant? Consider the following ways in which you might avoid closeness with others. Note each one that you believe applies to you. Self in relation to others. Independent. Self-sufficient, relatively uninterested in others' personal matters. your perception of others. Unreliable or incompetent, unsupportive, uncaring, untrustworthy, rejecting, critical, not emotionally available or supportive in general. Emotionally available and supportive, but not to you unless you earn it. Reflect on your responses to this exercise. The more you think of others as failing to be emotionally available for anyone, the more likely you tend toward being avoidantly attached. The last couple of items are particularly revealing. If you noted the very last one, you have a model of self in which you feel flawed, likely reflecting an anxious attachment style. In this case, you probably feel driven to prove your worth to earn others' caring and support. If, instead, you noted others not being emotionally available in general, then you probably noted a number of the others, reflecting that you likely have an avoidant style. Finally, if you noted both of them, your attachment style may be conflicted, with you having traits of both anxious and avoidant styles. Explore your model of others by reflecting on your responses and answering these questions. If you endorse a number of the previous statements, do you also notice that you tend to feel that you're on your own? How willing are you to reach out for or to accept support? What is your reaction to the thought of accepting support from others whom you are close to? Record your thoughts in your journal. If you have more to say, continue writing in your journal. By gaining a better understanding of your model of others, you will develop greater insight into your relationships and potentially see how you can improve them. Understanding the four attachment styles. Using the models of self and others, you have learned about two broad styles of insecure attachment, anxious and avoidant. But there are actually four specific attachment styles. We can understand all of these styles by combining the model of self and model of others in the graph described next. Using four quadrants, starting at the top left and working clockwise, the graph notes dismissing attachment, fearful avoidant attachment, secure attachment, and preoccupied attachment. Though there are four different attachment styles, it is important to understand that these are loose categories because each point on the graph is different. This example includes Cindy and Jack as examples. As you may note in the lower right quadrant, both have a preoccupied attachment style. But Cindy feels more positively about herself than Jack does, and she also sees others as more emotionally available. Similarly, as you identify your attachment style, it's important to recognize that there is much more to understand about what is going on for you. Also, as mentioned earlier, you can operate from different attachment styles in different relationships and at different times in your life. With this in mind, let's turn our attention to learning more about the four attachment styles, of which only one is a secure style. Secure attachment. People with a secure attachment style feel positively about themselves and expect that significant others will be emotionally available, especially at times when they are distressed. They enjoy being loved, appreciated, and supported for being their authentic selves. And they are similarly able to love, appreciate, and support a loving partner. As a result, they enjoy mutually supportive relationships, sensing that they are both lovable and loved. Preoccupied attachment. People with this insecure style of attachment feel ill-equipped to cope well with being distressed. They sense that there is something fundamentally flawed about them, such as being inadequate, unlovable, or deficient. Although they believe that other people can be emotionally available and help calm them, they fear not being accepted and loved because they feel unworthy. So they often become preoccupied with earning acceptance, such as by being especially kind and helpful, earning lots of money, or attaining status. Unfortunately, even when they do feel loved, they tend to perceive that it is the result of their performance or that the other person does not know the real them, not because they are truly cared about for their authentic selves. As a result, They remain forever trying to earn love and prevent rejection.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?